All right, everybody. Spoiler alert, episode 7. This is going to be about World War Z. Be advised, we are going to discuss the ending and all critical things. So if you haven't seen this movie and you don't want it ruined for you, get this out of your ears now.
Number one, everyone falls in love.
But first, I think we need to recreate that conversation I just had with
Matt. That was amazing. say what you said. Yeah. You were asking.
Now, I know you know monster movies. Now, I was a kid. I saw this clip of this movie. I remember watching my parents. I could never find it or knew what it was. So I'm going to describe it to you, and you have to tell me what movie it was. There was a giant tree monster that threw people into quicksand.
From Hell It Came. And not only do I have it on DVD, but I have a statue of the tree monster in my home that I put together and painted.
Oh,
wow. It gets better. Like chicks.
You did this with just neck deep in tail.
Yeah.
Just
like, oh, man, I'm pussy sculpting.
Oh, and all these like playmates were just like, oh my God, tell us more about.
I can't believe you're doing a matte painting on that.
Oh. Why are you doing flat black? Yeah. It should be glossy.
I love obscure horror movies that only nerds know about.
Oh, please, more putty. Yeah. No, my nerd runs deep.
But that's sort of the myth now, right? I mean, you've got all these like hot chick nerd chicks or act like they're super nerd chicks who like that stuff because now nerddom's cool.
They are,
isn't that right? I mean, you've got like
when you go to Comic-Con, you go, where were these people?
Exactly.
I don't remember.
Exactly.
This.
Like, are they really fans? Or are they just
And now there's ways to make money from it, and there's a term for it called nerd baiting.
Ooh,
that
doesn't
so
sound
wrong.
Nice.
No,
yeah,
no, it
sounds really bad.
That's, that's what it
After
is.
After the 30th year of marriage, I was just nerd baiting you.
Well, if the shit hot nerds exist, I'm single. You can email me. I will take you to Comic-Con, and you can wear your sexy Princess Leia outfit.
That offer must have come to you, considering your sheer handsomeness.
It has, but it's usually
your
dudes.
Manlike radiance. Hello. Your
Who's the last person you saw at Comic-Con? Who's the last person you had your arm around in Comic-Con in a Princess Leia outfit?
It was Chris.
It was Chris Gore.
So
exactly.
I'm making some bad choices. Is what I'm doing. He was dressed as Princess Leia, and
I'm married, but I'll wingman.
He'll dress like Boba Fett for you. Okay. He'll do it.
Do it, bro. I just need a salacious crumb outfit. Yeah. Come on. Who's with me?
So World War Z, I want to start this conversation with Matt talking about how it kind of changed as the different drafts kind of progressed. Because you said you've seen the movie and you've seen a bunch of the earlier
going
drafts.
The specifics of the drafts and what changed. Because the one thing I heard about the draft was the helicopter scene outside of Israel was... They originally shot it, and the zombies formed a hand.
I heard that, too.
That grabbed the helicopter.
I heard that, too.
This is why I was in favor of the reshoots.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. Once you hear stuff like that, you're like, oh, thank God. In fact, I got a text from another zombie geek buddy who was like, just saw World War Z, no hand in it, thank God. You know, right. So if you're worried about that happening, that's so bad that, you know,
that was the thing when I was like, I'm actually glad that Brad Pitt is making this his movie because he's not going to put... I've never seen
him... He can't do that.
He can't do crap like that. He's going to... You know, like, I get why, Matt Weinhold, why you're like, oh, Brad Pitt missed the mark. But he doesn't do stuff that makes you go, a fucking hand, you asshole.
No.
You know, like, he doesn't ever do that. You go, it doesn't, or his character should have, but not shit that's just insulting.
Yeah, right, like, no, he's no Adam Sandler.
Sid and Marty Croft moment, you know? Yeah. Like,
he doesn't have Spock go, con!
Yeah. don't get me started.
Real quick, was Superman supposed to be Jesus? Again, I'm still unclear about this.
It's,
when he floated with his arms out and he's 33 years old?
That was just a baptism scene. It wasn't Jesus.
Right.
That was
All right, so anyway,
I want to know, was there also a scene in one of the earlier drafts where the zombies spelled out,
I don't remember that. I don't remember that one.
I heard
So how did they change the drafts up to the movie that
Well,
that
I mean, it's changed quite a bit, but the you know, I read in a very early draft a couple years ago before it even they started doing any sort of pre-production or anything. The thing that changed the most was with the, in the reshoots. You know, it's the original movie and then the reshoot. Right. So what they changed is the third act. What's all different now?
Okay, what was it before? And then
what was it before? I, you know, I didn't read the version that they shot, but but you know, from what from the information I have, he went to Russia before, and so it was much more. So in the end, rather than flying to Wales, he flies to Russia, and Russia it becomes the origin, right? And by the way, originally China was the origin, and they changed that in
the
movie
own our day.
Because
yeah,
China said, yeah, in the book, but they were going to have it in the movie too. In the movie, China was going to be the origin, so he's going to have to go to China, and the Chinese government was like, nope, so they changed it to Russia. So he in the original shoot, he went to Russia, and you know.
Because there is some references to him going to Russia in the trailers.
There are several, yeah. We got to go to Russia,
I
and Russia's
the black
hole.
He was going
hole.
To end up in
he
Russia.
He was going to, yeah.
So what happened in the Russia shoot? Like, what was that?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know. I know that sort of one of the issues was that Brad wanted it to be much more of kind of a, he wanted to get much more into the politics of the pull always was, he wanted to get more into the politics of it. Like the stuff you said was interesting, how governments are dealing with it, you know, big issues like that. And the studios wanted it to be an action movie. They wanted a giant hand coming out of the ground, right, grabbing right. a helicopter. Right. So there was
and
this,
90 minutes of that.
Yeah, and so there's this pull back and forth.
And I heard that the J. Michael Straczynski draft was a little more thoughtful. That's something I read. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean the one that I read, was, I wouldn't say it was necessarily better than the movie.
Than what they made.
Yeah.
What was discernibly different from the draft you read from the movie? Like what scene is?
Well, the things that were the same was there was still Philadelphia in it. So all the opening stuff was similar. Although I got to say, how did, when he's in a traffic jam like that, how did that dump truck crash into, how did the dump truck kill the cop? How is that possible?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. He's in a line of traffic that goes all, as far as you can see, in both directions. How did the dump truck just come out of nowhere and kill the cop?
How do these zombies get up after they've obviously snapped their spines from jumping out of buildings and
yeah, it's all
getting
CGI.
Hit by cars?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. CGI zombies is like, I don't know.
No.
So, well, let's talk about the ending specifically. Okay. Like in the film, he finds basically not a cure for the virus, but a way to to camouflage it. He's like, he comes up with the idea of infecting himself
with a deadly disease.
With a disease, because they don't want to infect
a terminal host
or a damaged host.
Right.
And so what did you guys think of that? And B, how was that different, or was it from the book?
That's totally different. It's nothing like the book. You can't even really talk about the book, right? I mean, it's not. The only thing is the same as the book.
Do they like beat it?
They don't find a cure. There is no cure.
Now, the interesting thing about the movie,
but they do beat it.
I wanted to ask you, there was hints in the movie about, well, this isn't really a virus. Like, you know, there
could
and
be bacterial.
Saying, like, no, now it's a virus. Now, what was the mechanism in the book where it was different from the movie?
Well, the book is so different. And the only thing that's similar in the book and the movie is that it's global. Really, that's But you know, Max Brooks wrote Zombie Survival Guide before he wrote World War Z.
Right.
He was using the model that he used in Zombie Survival Guide for World War Z. So it's a virus. It's called the Solanum virus, and it has discrete incubation period. You know, it lasts a specific time like any other virus, and it infects you in a certain way, and it the undead live a certain amount of time, you know, 2 to 5 years, that sort of thing, right? Or they sort of just survive that long. They don't have superpowers. They're slow. You know, they can't like leap over cars and whatever the hell and like turn into a giant ant ball that can like go over rivers and go down whatever the hell that thing was.
They don't hold each other's arms to create a slingshot to shoot another zombie at.
Yeah. And how about when like they're all singing in like the Israeli acceptance center and it's like, let's all start singing. And they just get so freaked out by the singing. They like form a giant.
They're attracted to noise.
That scene is so bloody awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
That scene where, like, and I like the CGI stuff of them climbing up. Like, okay, that's kind of cool.
And the helicopter just unloading on the...
But like, apparently, so Israel has survived all this time, and they have this big wall, but apparently the helicopters don't patrol outside the wall to see that.
But they showed that they were patrolling, too.
But
like a shot before that, they were, like, flying right by there, the helicopter, but then they allow them to climb up.
How about shooting them down before they get over the wall?
Right.
I mean, just nonsense.
Well,
and then the singing thing, too, of, like, after you guys, by surviving, you must know all this information about how these zombies work. And yet, the minute someone started singing, like, nope. No singing.
Yeah, it would have been shut down a
little
quicker.
Right, but then to play devil's advocate here. So now we've established, the movie has established that noise attracts them. So let's say the helicopters do start shooting them down. That's still going to attract more. Like, don't you think that still plausibly could have happened based on that reality?
Sure, but they would be attracted to the helicopter, right? So they'd all be standing in the middle, going like this up to the helicopter. How do they know the wall is?
Yeah,
is anything of importance?
They would make a giant hand and get to the helicopter.
Yeah.
They're
like, we got to change that.
Right.
Yeah.
See, what would have worked is if they had formed a foot, then put on the helicopter and then spring up over the wall.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Or like a skateboard shoe, and then they would.
World War Z 2.
Well, if they formed a zombie skateboard to just do, like, you know,
right
along the side of it, like a swimming pool.
Like, okay, the way they got into the Israeli thing, I was a little, that was kind of dumb how they let him get him walk. One the thing I did like was the specifics, and he goes there and he's like, how did Israel know to put a wall up? How did you guys know?
Like that stuff.
That was really cool.
Was,
and he goes,
like,
what did he say? The 10th man or the 9th man or whatever. He goes, if there's 8 guys in the room and they all agree on something, it's the 9th guy's job to say, no, I disagree.
Right. Yeah.
And they learn that from
the history of Israel.
The history of Israel.
Right. Now,
I like that part.
There's another thing that I noticed too. And what I kind of liked is, and also I liked it, and then it got me a little crazy. At the beginning, when Brad Pitt actually goes on his first mission in the airplane, he's protecting a scientist. Okay, now, the scientist knows something about viruses. Great. You know, it was a really interesting conversation where he kind of does the exposition about how viruses work and goes into, like, the mechanics of it. Fantastic. So I thought that was really cool. I'm like, oh, this character might be a little interesting to have around. And then he shoots himself in the head by an accident.
Not allowed to have interesting characters in this movie.
No. So I'm thinking, oh, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Now, I liked that. Now, I didn't like... Here's why I didn't like it.
Because I hate scientists and they need to get one in the bean.
Yeah. Especially self-inflicted by tripping.
No, real quick.
I thought you, by this time, you would have lost your hatred of scientists.
Yeah.
Carrying this thing for years.
Oh, my God. You wear a white coat. He starts sweating.
Oh, I know.
Anyway,
it was the worst Halloween party ever.
I want to hear what you have to say. Let me just say this real quick. The reason why I liked that was when they're like, this guy, like, I liked the fact, I like a movie where I go, hey, anyone could die. You know what I mean? And it's like, and yeah, he's a guy, he's no combat training at all. People are going to flip out, and he's never held a gun, and that could happen.
The first thing I thought before that happened was, why'd they give him a gun?
Right, exactly.
When they got off the plane and he was holding a gun, I'm like, don't give that guy a gun.
Or leave the safety on.
Yeah, like, or just...
That's not what bothered me about it. That's not what bothered me.
All right, this is
what bothered me, is, okay, it's a giant zombie outbreak, he's not trained, it was an interesting character, sorry he died. Okay, that's not what bothered me. This is what bothered me, that... Brad Pitt continues on his mission, and there are no other scientists in the world that could have gone with him to replace that scientist, because it's a UN...
Yeah, he has to do it by himself
now. Now, all of a sudden, you know there's a surviving scientist somewhere else in the world that could probably meet him somewhere. And that's the kind of thing where, especially if this is a global, worldwide epidemic, everyone's got their own version of CDC or WHO.
Right.
There's the offices. There's someone else that could probably help. You don't have to go all the way to Wales to find another viral scientist.
And so the plan was, let's... land in the dark in the rain and walk out. And that was the plan. That was the plan to get where they were going?
Here's why I like that. Here's why I like that and why I didn't have the problems that you guys did. Because I'm like, I bought global epidemic, the best we can do is ships off the Atlantic kind of communicating. Like, yeah. It's not like this idea, like when he's like, I like the fact that he's like, oh, I can just talk to my wife. I'm like, oh, really? The satellites, everything's going to be working. No problem. Like the fucking, we have sunspots, no zombie virus, and everything goes dark.
Right.
So I like the fact that it was like, this is the best we've got, and it's all going to fall to shit because the world is, they're like, well, Boston's dark, New York's dark, Paris is dark. Like, I liked that fact that it felt, because in a disaster, in chaos, nothing goes right. The best planning, nothing goes right. I remember being a volunteer at the Red Cross at 9/11, and people were coming up to the Red Cross all mad, saying we were told we could donate blood here, but we can't. Everyone wanted to donate blood, right, in the days after 9/11. And I remember saying to the group of people, I'd been working there for 12 hours, and I went, you guys, the military didn't see this coming. Well, despite whatever conspiracy people, I know.
Now
I just
got the loose change people on their ass. Okay,
but I mean, like if they didn't see that coming, and when it was chaos, and the best laid plans, the best trained people, it's still chaos.
Can I counter that though?
Sure,
because you are a stand-up comic, excellent, handsome podcaster, and you are volunteering. You are not the guy that we need, Brad Pitt, expert in everything. We don't know exactly what he did before, but we know that he's great at it. Let's send him out on the mission. And his plan is to land in the dark in the middle of the rain and walk out and, hello, zombies! That was the plan? How about landing closer to the building?
No, he had half the SEAL team with him. There two guys they sent with him?
Well, the one thing I did think, though, in your defense, why would they open the giant back hangar door? There are other exits to airplanes. Yes, right. They could open a little tiny side door, right? Where in case something really bad happens, you can't. Thousands of zombies aren't going to run into the back of your plane.
The scientists needed a ramp.
Right. What do we know about a fast zombie apocalypse? Is that wherever you go, a second later, fast zombies are going to run at you. So where was that preparation?
Right. the lapse of logic problem I have with it is, so if you think about it in terms of like a 28 days later, right? So it's a fast acting zombie play. Granted, they're dead. They die first and then they come back. So they're undead, right?
No, but
in 28
never,
days later, they're
no,
not
that's
undead.
That's never really addressed though. Do they die first before they change?
No, I think it is. Yeah. I think they show that one guy who gets attacked
kinda, yeah,
and
but
falls.
They just kind of shake and then turn. Like you don't see them like die and become inert and then come
that's
back up
interesting
it happens very
I
fast.
Think yeah but well either way
yeah.
is it's very similar either they're undead or they're not, but it's very right. similar to 28 days later, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In 28 days later, it stayed on in the UK, right? The disease stayed in the UK because who the hell is going to let one of those fuckers get on a plane? Nobody. It's an instant infection. The thing about it is, an infection that acts like that would never spread around the world. Because like you said, any virus is 24 hours away right. from anybody else because you can get on a plane.
Right.
If you have too many fucking martinis, they don't let you on a plane. Let alone if you're a raving maniac trying to eat everyone. Right?
So
if you bought a first class ticket, you know what? That's a lot of revenue.
Sorry, look, Mr. Gravy Maniac. If you want to upgrade.
If you're not on the no-fly list, you're getting on.
You know? Yeah. So here's how they answer that. So if we look at the opening scene in Philadelphia.
They said
5% of the population, it was a line in passing. But, you know, because in Philadelphia, right, he's stuck in a traffic jam. He's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
Right.
So the idea being that was spread and it's everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. How did it get everywhere? So they have this line in passing where they say, in 5% of the population, it lies dormant for up to 2 weeks.
There you go. Yeah, right? Dormancy in the virus.
Yeah. Okay, great. So Brad Pitt gets fucking blood in his mouth and he goes to jump off the side of the thing. And then he goes, oh, I'm not infected. The whole movie is predicated on count to 10. Remember, they cut the girl's hand off and they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, must be okay. We're all okay. No, you're not fucking okay. 5% of you are going to turn into zombies.
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Yes. All right. Roll the dice. In 2 weeks, I'll see you back in a cave.
Total lapse in logic. And it doesn't make any sense.
I also feel like the blood thing was something that was set up and then cut out.
Yeah.
They never revisit that.
Like, I was thinking too that, well, there's going to be a scene about how it's transmitted by saliva and not in blood, something like
somehow
that.
Somehow it would be addressed,
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, some of the things I did like, I liked that they were wrapping stuff around their arms, with, you know, wrapping phone books around their arms with duct tape. I thought that was great.
And I was like, so one guy has both. He has one. There's some people have them on their feet.
Yeah, no, it's a little random.
It's just a matter of what limb you like the most. Yeah.
And like I said, I love the idea of the fact that this zombie virus acts really like a virus, where it's solely interested in infecting and incubating.
Yeah.
Where not like just eating.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really
But that climax, come on. Like, let's just walk, more
Well, the climax was like a low-budget climax. You know, they were basically like, we got to film all that stuff in Wales was the reason. Shoot.
That's what was really interesting.
This and they were the like, kind of, we have no
this
money.
This was the kind of movie where it started huge and went small, where normally a movie like that will start small. Like it might start in Wales, like you see something like that, and then it goes global after that.
Well, I think that some of the stuff they cut out was like 900 extras. Zombie extras got cut out. The scenes that we didn't see in Russia. They're like 900 zombie extras.
Now, what do you know?
So
what
it was.
Happened?
It was like
see
big
Russian footage.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know what happened in those scenes?
Or no, like, unfortunately, I really don't. But yeah, I know that you know.
What happened in Russia in the book? Was there?
It
a
wasn't
Russian
really
story?
Like that. Yeah, I'm not even sure there was this. Was there a story in Russia?
Yeah, I remember Japan.
It was Japan, Australia, a little bit of Australia. Yeah.
Well,
India.
The good thing about Max is he's going to be selling a lot more books now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, let me ask you.
He doesn't need the help.
Well, they mentioned like, and I like the David Morse CIA character who said,
"Yeah,
oh, you know how they closed it up in North Korea." Pulled everyone's teeth.
And that's a little bit of a reference.
Like that.
Wow. I like that. And you know North Korea would fucking do something.
That's a little like that.
Yeah, like you buy it. Like the North Korea, when that movie plays, they're going to think about it right now. Well, maybe just to be sure.
We should have a lot of dentists ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a reference a little bit to the book, because in the book, they say they're doing this oral history after the war, and they kind of know what happened in every other country, but they don't know what happened in North Korea, because when the zombie plague hit, everything went dark in North Korea, and like all, and there's been no communication. So like they haven't seen it. The guards went away from the walls. They haven't seen anyone, and they don't know what happened.
Now, is Max writing a sequel to the book?
No,
no, he's not.
Okay,
no.
How did they beat the virus in the book?
They don't. No. It's just a war.
So they beat it back.
Yeah,
basically.
They beat it back. You have to kill the zombies. Yeah.
So there are
and
some
not get infected. Yeah. You know.
So there's still zombies, and they're just fighting them and hoping they.
Yeah, and they sort of beating. So it's like, you know,
and keeping people away. So
public back here on the other side of the Rocky Mountains, and we're gonna push them back. You know, back across the East Coast, and we'll eventually get them out of the United States, and you know.
And
but it's a war,
like an invasion.
Yeah, and it's an invasion. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and there's a lot of. One of the things I really love about the book is where they get into the whole thing of that in colder regions or when winter would come, the zombies would just freeze. So you'd get a little respite where you could kind of regroup and, you know, get your act together.
And then when they unfreeze,
they thaw.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're a little more ready for them.
Yeah, they thaw in the spring and then they come out and eat you again, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that would actually preserve them, and then they would still keep walking after that.
And they also get into, like, there are guys that – like have some sort of psychological problem where they think they're zombies, so they pretend like they're zombies. And
does that fool the real zombies?
No.
So this ending in the film,
yeah,
where basically we're saying they just went sequel. What do you guys think of that?
It really set it up for like, oh, this is a part one.
Well, I love that he injects himself with some random disease.
Yeah, they're
like, I hope he doesn't do the other one because he's going to die. And he's like, well, I'm just going to do this one. And they don't even like explain what it is.
What it was,
How about sending him, before they send him down there, go like, hey, look for this. Look for C912B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in the top shelf.
Yeah. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
And they just wrote
it's the one that
off.
Says, do not inject yourself with this.
Yeah. Take anything that says that doesn't say anthrax. Just take that.
Wouldn't it just say like typhoid really dangerous? They wouldn't just Wouldn't they make just it as numbers. Blatant for everyone to know, do no, not go no,
but,
all
but here's the thing. It takes time to be in, just because, you know, he injects himself with it and then they're like, well, how long is it going to take? Well, it will act really fast. No, it won't. It's going to take days. He would have been sitting there for like 3 days waiting to get infected with that fucking thing. And then, it is not an instant. Yeah, and secondly, how did all the scientists turn into rat people? They were theoretically like the zombie scientist, the dude outside of his door. Mm-hmm. Why did he have like rat teeth oh, and like yeah, a yeah. rat face?
Everybody has this like protruding
and they're like, and they have like rat teeth.
The scariest.
They were That guy was an educated PhD scientist a week ago. What well, happened to his teeth?
Britain.
Well, yeah, fair, touche. But everywhere in the world, it seemed like that.
Well, that was part of the virus, rat teeth.
Rat teeth.
The scariest scene in the movie is the lady in the cage going.
Oh,
that
gosh.
Was creepy.
Yeah, that was the only time sort I was of. Ever kind of scared. The rest, it's certainly not a scary movie.
I hated.
I don't
the,
know. I think that airplane scene. That,
yeah,
that was
wasn't
bad.
I thought
that
I did was enjoy like, that. I did
yeah,
enjoy
I
that.
Was
and
like,
I like
oh
the solution
God, like,
to it. It was right. He's like, what yeah. are you going to do? Well, I'm going to blow a hole inside the airplane.
Yeah,
although
do.
If he didn't have his, you know, he's like trying to get his seatbelt. I'm like, you should have clicked that belt
before you threw the grenade.
Threw the grenade. Yeah. You know, like
I also like, fuck everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. You're done anyway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that scene of the plane.
It's not like he was Superman.
Yeah. Of the plane,
it's not
like
Jesus,
yeah. going to crash, and you just see a trail of bodies flying out of it. That was awesome.
No, it was cool. I cool. I definitely like that. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, I like
but
that.
But they did do, I mean, they did, like, I can see when you're talking about it, makes a lot of sense that the fight between Brad wanting to go into the politics of how this and the studio just wanting. You know, the
action. They wanted an action movie.
And honestly, yeah. I think Brad was right. I mean, that's what makes it more, yeah. really
Absolutely.
Interesting.
But
yeah.
you can see that where
yeah,
they
ideas are great.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, like he injects himself. Then at the end of the movie, they just saw him getting a shot in the arm, you know.
Yeah.
Daddy's cute.
Well, I think that was like, oh my gosh, we have to make this thing work somehow, you know.
Right,
so
yeah. we have to end this in under $100,000.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
do you think too that had something to do with the reshoots? Because maybe in the original Brad died or something like that. And they
I don't
like,
know
no,
if
no,
he
no,
died
Mr.
or that's
Pitt.
A really good question. I mean I wish I would have done a little more research, but
it's everything was going in yeah. that direction.
Well, he might be dying. He just injected himself with
well,
a fucking smallpox.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's the sequel. Is there they're at his funeral?
And the other thing is this. So they have these scenes where so when he first lands in Korea, right at that base, and they have the one guy who's got the limp. And they remember the one soldier who has uh-huh. the limp, and they say, "Oh, you should have seen, you know, Marky. He went in there and he was standing in the middle of all of them and he was shooting them all and he's a total badass." And he's like, "Oh, did you get injured on your leg there?" And he's like, "No, I'm fine." So in a typical zombie movie, you'd say, "Well, that guy got bitten," and he's like not showing you, right? He's hiding it. That always happens in a zombie.
You
movie,
really
right?
look at like there's a couple places
but
like that you're talking
but
about.
But in the end, they never explain what he had. Sorry, but
oh no, I know. What
but
you're,
they
I know
showed
where
at the
it.
End that he was one of the reasons Brad Pitt was able to figure out that it was a disease. Right, he thought about the old man who didn't get attacked in Israel. He thought about that guy right. who was in the center of all the zombies and survived and wasn't getting attacked. Mm-hmm. Thought about the little kid in India or wherever that was.
I liked how they. I liked how that.
What was wrong with the soldier? He had a limp. So apparently, you either
gangrene.
Need a Desi. What?
It had to be gangrene.
Gangrene.
Yeah, at that
geez.
Point.
Gimp leg.
Yeah, but
it's like we all just get like syphilis,
or it's
the mustard gas got him.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, you have a broken leg.
That could have been diabetes.
He's a diabetic soldier.
Yeah. Diabetic special
so
forces.
Special forces diabetics.
Yeah.
He said it's an. He said it was an old injury.
That's
yeah.
A whole
he said it was
outfit.
An. He said
special forces diabetic.
Yeah.
We'll take over.
He said CLT it was an old D. injury. So either, you know, either he was telling the truth and it was an old injury, or he was lying for some reason. And
well, that's what it
I think he was
up.
Meant to be infected.
They were setting it up that he was lying.
He was going
to
eat everyone.
And that's one of the things when you get to when you're talking about like the reshoots. There's a couple of things that kind of get set up and never pay off because you've got a different third of the movie
right.
at the end.
Yeah.
So
really
I'm sure
like
I'm sure you know you had a nightmare for the editor. Like, well, how is this going to make
Just
sense?
Do it.
But see, still, but I think they pulled it together.
They
I mean,
did
really
sort
did.
Of, but it, you know that doesn't really make sense if you're using as your logic to. That people that they don't attack in sick people, a guy with a limp from a prior injury.
It has
it's like,
to be
well, then, geez,
yeah.
I'm just gonna like break my ankle and I'll be fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you would have to do to explain that more is like the limp is a cause of some undiagnosed terminal illness, and
right.
that you could do, but they didn't do that.
Yeah,
honestly, right. when I was well, as I was watching the movie and I'm trying to figure out like what is making this, you know, the virus spread so, and how are they going to defeat it? And I realized that I thought that they're going to find out that Brad Pitt is causing it all, because everywhere he goes, the second he gets there, everything turns to shit.
Everybody hates this guy.
The minute he lands in Israel, the wall gets breached.
There's Danny Ocean's friend.
He gets on a plane. The plane goes down. You know,
he gets that blood in his face, then he goes around breathing on everybody. He's like destroying the world.
Zombie vector.
Well, let me ask you guys this now. What are your opinions of Mark Forster, who directed it? And, you know, he did... he did Monsters Ball, he did Stranger Than Fiction, and he did Quantum of Solace. So he's not an action guy. It's not like his pedigree is all these action films.
I didn't mind the direction necessarily.
Yours was the script. Your problem was with the script.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, once he said that there's never been a zombie movie made on a plane before, he lost me.
That's it.
I'm too much of a zombie geek.
He's dead to you.
He's dead to me.
Yeah.
Although I again, with the fast zombies and fast cutting, I think that was bad.
Yeah, you got to see the zombies. Yeah,
I didn't know what I was looking at, and I need to have some moments of
they were used,
not shaking. And,
I know what you're talking about. They were used too sparingly, those big, you know, epic. And
initially... In the beginning of the film, I liked that I couldn't see because I felt like I was in the middle of the chaos.
In
the beginning,
I agree that
it goes a little too long.
When they were in the apartment trying to get to the roof, you could have done some really cool stuff on the stairs with like close up of the zombies.
All you saw was a little bit of stuff.
And you saw a little bit.
But that was a weird scene too, with that, you know, the kid who instantly
gets over the eating of his entire family.
And Brad Pitt is like, he's on the ship with his family. He's like, all right, take care of my girls. And then, oh, by the way, sorry your parents were
eating. I know.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, all right. Well, didn't like them anyway.
Yeah.
What did you think about this stuff? I like the stuff on the ship with when Brad Pitt says, I'm not leaving my family, and the commander of the ship goes, all right, you're off the boat. Like, we need non-essential personnel. Like,
I thought that was cool.
I was like, you're right, man, because he's like, we have to
save. And
the
second we think you're dead, your family is off the boat.
Gone.
So they obviously have limited resources, yet when it comes to breakfast, boy, they pile up them plates, don't they? Everybody had 9 pieces of corn and sausage.
Bacon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were just shooting during craft services to save. So that was, again, the reshoots. They had to save money. So it's like, just shoot the craft services line.
What else? Anything else that we need to discuss about this film?
Are we missing? Because there has to be more wrong than what we brought up.
we have brought it up twice.
Yeah.
So,
any specific scenes we haven't talked about yet that you like? This really bothered me.
We haven't already talked about.
I mean, really, I think the common ground here is that we all thought it was a great idea and great premise and great setups. It's just the execution.
I didn't like the zombies in general. So I guess if you're talking about Mark Forster, I guess I would blame him. He's the director. He's the one directing the zombies. I did not like how they were getting like sort of the Japanese horror movie style. I'm bending my arms in weird ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Like, this is The Grudge, and I'm going to start walking on ceilings upside down. You know what I mean? It's like, why are you doing that? Especially if you say they're a virus with legs and teeth who want to infect other people. Why are they doing that? You don't see predatory animals walking around just flailing their shit around, wasting energy for no reason. Why are they doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks cool? It doesn't look that cool.
That's a good point.
You're ruining my zombies.
I'll give the counterpoint to what part that was cool. Now, a virus would kind of save energy in the host. When there's no targets, they would go dormant.
Yeah, I like that.
Down.
Right. And you know, bears do
that.
That
was
fun. In a state of torpor where you just sort of, like a computer in sleep mode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But,
like
but
when
why
Michael
are
Bay
you
directs.
Doing this and looking around? You know?
A computer in sleep mode.
Nice. Nice.
He's more of a bear and toper. Make that the hashtag for this episode, folks. Michael Bay, bear and toper. All right, cool. Well, anything else? That was awesome.
No,
I say if you want to see some a movie that's flawed but is a lot more fun, see the Dawn of the Dead remake. Watch that again.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Snyder,
watch that again.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's better than Zack Snyder's more recent movie.
Oh,
jeez.
Well, I haven't even
Jesus,
seen it.
Jesus man?
Jesus man. It's not an S, it's a J.
Oh, Super Jesus? all right, so then let's do this. Recommend some good zombie films.
Well, I mean, the ones that we... you talked about Dead Set. I guess I'm taking it from you. It's not a zombie movie, but go ahead.
Dead Set. I think I might have brought this up on previous mm-hmm. podcasts, but Dead Set is this great five-part British miniseries. And the premise is that they're filming Big Brother in England. And while this is happening, a zombie outbreak happens. Oh, yeah. Zombies come in, wipe out everybody on the outside. The people who are in the Big Brother house have no idea that this is going on. And they're perfectly protected because they're all sequestered in this house. And they suddenly realize, hey, we're not being filmed anymore.
Yeah, they're not delivering the food anymore. Yeah. Like, our fridge isn't full. Yeah.
And the only other people that survive is this really kind of an asshole executive producer who's sort of like a really meaner Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. And cowardly.
Then, yeah. Yeah. And there's also a plucky PA who manages to find her way in there. And then the rest of it is just them trying to survive and whether they should get out. And
yeah, it's good.
And it's great. And the zombies are
fast,
done really well, shot really well.
Yeah.
And and the humor and the horror really work hand
Where
in hand.
Where can you get the show?
You can get it on Netflix, right? Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Amazon.
Or I know that they have it on YouTube. You can watch it on
okay. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's better.
Nice. Anything else?
I mean, if we're talking about fast zombies, sort of in the vein of World War Z, I would say The Horde, which is a French zombie movie.
Horde's great.
Yeah, and so it's sort of like, you know, slightly superhuman, very fast and aggressive zombies in a French apartment building where cops go in. Dirty cops go in to kill. It's actually like the Raid Redemption.
Raid Redemption.
It's actually like the Raid
with
Redemption.
Zombies?
Yeah, it's the Raid. It's the Raid Redemption. But once you get to the top floor, you realize, oh shit, the entire planet is now zombies, and I got to get the hell out of here.
Oh
yeah.
Wow!
But, so now it's going back down. You know, it's reversed.
Yeah, and there's a fun little twist at the end, and there's it's good fun. The Horde.
Yeah, The Horde. That's good.
All right.
Fast zombies.
Well, thanks, guys, for zombie spoiler ups. Once again, where can Matt Moak, your website?
ZombieResearchSociety.com.
Outstanding. Matt Weinhold.
MattWeinhold.com. Follow me on Twitter or buy my CD.
Available at the Comedy Film Nerd Store.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thanks for this spoiler ep. Next week, I don't think we're doing a spoiler because you're on the road, so we're doing the...
No, we're doing... we have
The Limestone
one with...
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes, yeah.
That'll be a fun episode. And then when we get back, there will be more...
funness.
More funness. Will Anderson might be here.
Oh, cool.
We're going to have some fun guests. All right, guys. Thank you so much. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember
Han shot zombies first.
Let the zombies run.
Run, zombies, run.